It was a stressful time for the family as they rushed around trying to do everything they needed to do to get ready for Christmas. But one night, things for that family of three seemed worse than the others. They pulled into the driveway hurriedly. They fed their daughter with haste, too late really to feed her. And then they shooed the three-year-old upstairs to get ready for bed. A few minutes later, they walked by and her door was partially open and they overheard her praying on her knees beside her bed. And forgive us our Christmases as we forgive those who Christmas against us. Perhaps you've been Christmased against, or maybe you've Christmased against others. I pray you're forgiven of that. You know, today as we look into John the Baptist's message in the wilderness, to people who were longing to be rid of the trespasses, as he shared with them a message, I think it's a message that applies to each one of us, and it's a clarifying thing for us as we seek to integrate our spiritual lives into our daily routine. Today, as we look at this message of John in the wilderness, I want to focus on one word to help clarify what was on point for them, and I think which is on point for us too. Today, that word is ask. Remember the first week in Advent? The word I gave you was alert. Be alert. The second Sunday in Advent, the word was repent. Repent. Turn around. Go Godward. Today the word is ask. Well, why, you might ask? That seemed to be at the heart of conversation that John had with the crowds. You know, he told them, it doesn't matter that you've got Abraham somewhere up your ancestry.com, that he's up there in your family tree somewhere. No privilege by heritage, folks. He said what mattered in their lives was that they exhibited the same faith that Father Abraham had. And then it got quite specific. When he told them that they needed to bear the fruits worthy of repentance, they began to ask, what should we do? What should we do? And John didn't bat an eye. He told them what they should do. And interestingly, it's all about doing justice. We may ask ourselves, what is the fruit of repentance? What is the benefit of a life stirred up by the Spirit toward the things that God is concerned about? The answer is justice. That's what God's concerned about. The fruits of repentance are justice for the poor. Three different groups ask the same question, what should we do? To the first, the crowd, he told them, the fruit is that food and clothing is distributed intently so that nobody has too much while another has too little. Just for kicks, I went through and counted up the number of shirts that I own. You know, he says, if you have two coats, another has one, give it away, right? I went through and I counted up the shirts I own. Now, I'm talking all my shirts. Sweatshirts, t-shirts, dress shirts, athletic shirts, clergy shirts, even Thrivent t-shirts, which I've accumulated a few of. The ones hanging up, the ones in my chest of drawers, even the one in the back of my wife's car that I keep for emergencies. You know how many I have? Take a guess. 38? 89. Tom, you're close. Tom, you're close. A little higher. Really close. 93. I have 93 shirts. My daughters are smiling because they know. 93, and I got rid of a lot of them before I moved down here, right? I have enough shirts to wear one a day and it not be seen again for 3 months, right? I think I have some work to do to share with others who have little or none. You know, not that all of us are called to be minimalists, but more importantly, God wants us to get the job done, to care for the needs of those who have little, to be sure that all have some. And if that means that some of us feel called to become minimalists in the process, then that's great. I want to share a hymn with you that I encountered this week that I thought was quite powerful. I'm not going to sing it to you. I've been known to do that before, but I'm not. But the words of this are to the tune of "O Worship the King, All Glorious Above." Bum, 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 bum. All right, get that tune in your head. Now listen to these words. If I have two coats God calls me to share, there's someone nearby with no coat to wear. And if I don't know who that person might be, it's to a new friendship that God's calling me. If I have some bread and some soup all the more, I'm called to reach out to someone who's poor. And if I don't know who that person might be, it's to a new table that God's calling me. If money is mine, God calls me to live as somebody who loves to generously give. And if I don't know someone suffering near me, it's to a new neighbor that God's calling me. O God of great truth, John's call to obey prepared us for Christ who shows us your way. May we have the courage to try something new, to reach out to new neighbors and so welcome you. The fruit next that is called to bear is upon the tax collectors. The tax collectors ask the question, and what should we do? The fruit of their turnaround, John said, would be that people aren't ripped off, that they don't get greedy and skim off the top as much as they can from those they collect taxes from. Tax collectors were a hated group because it was common knowledge that they got a certain percentage for collecting taxes for the Romans. And whatever they got above and beyond that, more power to them. And they could insist on that. And whatever they got, they kept for themselves. Remember how Zacchaeus repented? Zacchaeus, the tax collector, repented? He was a chief tax collector, richer than most. And when Jesus came to town, he repented. He bore the fruit of repentance. And you know what that was? He said, "Lord, I'll give half of all my possessions to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I'll pay them back four times what I owe them." You see, the evidence of his turnaround was that those who were most burdened in society were unburdened. Finally, the soldiers asked, "What should we do?" John indicated that the fruit of their turnaround would be to be people who were content with their possessions. Now, you know, a soldier's salary is not very big, is it? He said to them, "Don't try and shake people down. Don't try and intimidate them to take away from them what's rightfully theirs. Don't use your position of authority to take away their personal benefits." You know, that happens all the time, doesn't it? I just was reading the Miami Herald today, and saw how poor people were granted an upgrade in their housing, but not all of that money was spent on the upgrade. Where did it go? Well, John makes it clear the fruits of repentance would be that you're satisfied with your wages, that you don't try to take it away from those who have none or little. It's worth noting that when we ask these tough questions, what shall we do? That in the process, we are shaped as Christ followers, disciples. When we ask those tough questions, when we have the turn of heart, the change of mind, we become the people that God destined us to be for the sake of the world. I find it interesting that in the beginning of this story today, the people are called the crowd. The crowd was gathered there in verse 7. A crowd is a gangly group of people, not connected. It's a conglomerate of different individuals. But by the end of this story, of this encounter with John's message, and people asking the tough questions and walking away their fruit for the kingdom, they are no longer called the crowd. They are called in Greek, laos, which is the people. They've gone from hoplos, the crowd, to laos, the people. And there is a significant change. It says in verse 18, so with many exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. God's work is to fashion a people out of a crowd. To fashion a people who are eager to do good and not evil. In 1 Peter chapter 2, you might be familiar with language that speaks the same. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And then he goes on to say, beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against your soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that, though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. So the implication here is that producing the fruits of righteousness is not merely personal. It's about living as community, holding each other accountable to create this change we believe God wants to see in the world. There's a saying that I think is true. Those who know mercy show mercy. Right? We show mercy because mercy has been shown to us. Some of you have known what it's like to be poor. Some of you have known what it is to dumpster dive so that your family can be fed. Some of you have experienced the grace of a believer helping you pay your rent or your car payment. Some of us have experienced firsthand the mercy of God through God's merciful people. The new world order that pregnant Mary will sing about next Sunday in Luke chapter 1, which ponders the day that the poor will have good things and the rich will be sent away empty-handed. I think that John the Baptist's message calls you and I not simply to wait and hope for that day. No more waiting for someone else to turn the world right side up. You and me, God's people. What shall we do, we ask? We are to begin the turning. That's the fruit of our repentance. Our doing justice here, now. Because the world is about to turn. And we're blessed to have a hand in it. Amen.
Let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.